in 2013, and in 2016 released Tongue-in-Cheek Vows. This past September, he released a solo album called This City under his name Samir Cash. It's great to chat with him tonight and play new songs off of that album. So welcome to the show, Sam.
What is up, Mary? What a good intro. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining tonight. I'm super psyched to catch up. I haven't seen you. I think the last time I saw you was maybe at a show at the amphitheater or something. One of the first nights out that we all had.
Yes, a glorious evening it was. A glorious evening.
Cool. So let's start off the show with the song "Keep Kicking" off your album. It's out on Post War Records, and the album mm-hmm. City. And we'll start off with that, and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Nothing could hurt them. Goddamn, they said it and set it off with a purpose. My clothes no longer fit me. I've been growing each day. I find myself drifting when I try to stay straight. No longer hurt me, I can't feel a thing. And your body's been moving like it's waiting for spring. And I know you're tired and things aren't working right, but this place ain't your home. It's just a stop for the night. Saturday night, 'cause they'd rather get loaded than kick up a fight. Now they're sitting there silently, just sipping beer quietly. Then she just shouts out loud, "Honey, don't die on me." I thought that I told you this whole place is wicked, and we all huddle close when the fog starts to thicken. I've been talking to ghosts, but I don't think they're listening. When your back's against the ropes, you just gotta keep kicking. Gotta keep kicking. Gotta keep kicking.
That was "Keep Kicking" off of "The City" by Samir Cash, who joins me tonight. So that album came out in September 2020, and I'm really psyched to talk to him tonight. If you want to check out his music, the song we just heard, you can find him online at samircash.com or at instagram.com/samircash. So Sam, that song is awesome, and you actually did a really cool live show. So right before kind of the pandemic right when it was actually hitting. So in March.
Right when it was happening. Yeah, right at the beginning.
Yeah, so you had put together You had put together a live show at the Burdock on Bloor Street. And so take me through kind of, you have a great video of that song. So for those who like that song, they can find it on your website and on your album. So take us through kind of like what that whole night was like for you.
Yeah, well, that was super interesting. So that was March 12th, 2020, which was to be the single where, like, I had released the first song off the album, Driveway Moment, and that show was sort of the launch of the record cycle, I guess you could say. I had already, funnily enough, sort of felt like I had been quarantining for 3 years before, like, making this thing. I had sort of dug deep down into a bit of a hole uncharacteristically. Prior to that, I was pretty heavily touring and pretty out there a lot. And so I was crawled away writing this record. And then that Burdock show was sort of like the first time I'd played any of the songs live. First, I had a whole new band, first time we'd played a show together. And it was also, so the next day, Friday, March 13th was the day that everything had got shut down. So Thursday, the 12th, it was sort of in the air, you know, like when I showed up for soundcheck, all my band members who play with a bunch of different people, you know, all their summer tours had been canceled. Wow. But things were still happening, but we didn't really know, you know, it was a very clear, like the energy in the room was like, tomorrow we might be in a very different situation. And no one really knew what that was. And that's, you know, the first time really in my lifetime that had been felt, I think, so clearly as like a before and an after. And to a lot of people that I know, that was their last show, you know?
Wow.
So it was a very heavy energy. And then the fact that I had already gotten someone to come film it was also just a happy accident. And I wish we got the whole set, because I only got him to record about 3 or 4 songs.
Right.
So it would have been nice to have the whole set, but and then the songs also seemed to fit the energy as well. It was all very spooky, I gotta say.
Yeah, exactly. And so the album is called This City, and you actually did something really cool. So there's a bit of a companion piece to the album itself. So it's a coloring book, and it maps, and tell us a little bit about the coloring book and kind of what that was all about.
Yeah. So that was a true like labor of love. I am my partner is a graphic designer and did all of the visual direction on the album with me as well. And we sort of had this idea basically around March, 2020, we had this idea to make this because after March 2020, during the pandemic, I had gotten into these like adult coloring books, you know, that are very sort of corny in a way, but also sort of amazing. You know, it's like these very trippy, detailed sort of coloring book things that are meant for like soothing sort of anxiety and just like giving me something to doodle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had sort of gotten into that, and then I was thinking like, when I was trying to come up with some sort of other artistic element for the album, I hadn't really seen many people do that. And because it was already during the pandemic and everything was already sort of turned around, I didn't really want to just put out some, you know, just a t-shirt, which I do have t-shirts as well, but I wanted to do something sort of unique. But it ended up taking about a year and a half to do. And so I drove around Toronto. I took photos of some locations that sort of I grew up around or locations that represented neighborhoods I grew up in around the city, because I've born and raised in Toronto and grew up all over the place. And then reached out mainly on Instagram to artists that me and my partner thought were really cool that wanted to maybe donate some time. This is a completely nonprofit initiative as well. So it really was just like a lot of time and love put into it. And then along with the photos, I ended up writing some little paragraphs about each thing. So, you know, there's a photo of the gas station where I worked in high school, where I paid for my first record from that job, and it got torn down. And so I had sort of a before and after photo, and in a loose way, it was to map a bit of the gentrification in the city, because a lot of these places that I grew up with and grew up around and were very significant parts of my life aren't there anymore. Or if they are there, they're there in a very depleted way. So it's sort of, it was real, came from some real genuine emotions and also seemed to fit the album well. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, why don't we listen to the song This City off of your album, This City, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more.
We work until we're shattered in this basement, counting the tips we made, and then drank away. The smoke sticks like a second skin that I shed time and time again, until the buzz kicks in and the streetlights shine like they know how it ends. If this city keeps pushing me out, I'd like to see it live without me. I'd like to see it live without. Just give me one good reason I should stick around. I've been living in a make or break. I've been given just to see you take. I hear it in the voices of my friends, as if they're having way more fun on the other side of the 401. This told you before, it's the last time I'm giving in. If this city keeps pushing me out, I'd like to see it live without me. I'd like to see it live without. If this city keeps screwing around on me, I'd like to see it live without.
That was This City by Samir Cash off his album, The City. So Sam joins me tonight on Dangerfield. If you want to find music, you can check him out on his website, samircash.com. And so before this song, we're talking about a companion piece to the album that he created. Donations went to such great charities as the Anishinaabe Health Foundation, Black Solidarity Fund, and Sistering. And it's actually... I think you sold out of your first, and you're now on your second.
Yeah. So we made 100 in the first round, and we sold out within 24 hours, which was amazing. Yeah. And then we did a second round in a different color, which we made many more of those. So we still got some of those. But they're getting out there slowly. We had a nice burst at the beginning.
Yeah. You spoke a little bit about writing some paragraphs and stuff that to accompany the visuals. Actually, first question: have you seen anyone's coloring that they filled in for your book? Has anyone shared with
you?
Yeah,
I have seen some. Yeah, they're great. That's what's cool about these coloring book things is because like they can look so different without really doing much, you know.
And so you spoke a bit about there is a gas station that's featured in one of the drawings, and there's a great blog on your website where you kind of talk about working there, and you talk about raising money for your first record, and then kind of goes to speaking about the community that you found of musicians within Toronto. So great ones such as Zeus, they've been on the show as well. Carlin and Neil were on time, and the Golden Dogs. And so what did that be like at a young age? Like, I think you were probably like your early twenties when you met them. What was that feeling like kind of meeting your like kind of music community? Like, what was that experience like?
Yeah, that was fun. And I think I was maybe 19 when I met those guys. And what's funny now is I've realized, like, I think I'm now the age those guys were when they were meeting me. And I just can't imagine how funny it is, because I was just, like, so brazen. I'd just walk up to anybody and just start talking to them. The minute I could get into bars, the minute I was 19, I was just going to shows as much as I could.
Right.
And you know, there was just a couple people that were younger that I knew from my parents or something, just like a little bit of a foot in that I could felt like I could talk to whoever the hell, you know. But those guys, to me, that was like a really amazing era of the Toronto rock scene that I don't think that got a bit eclipsed by the previous era of like you know, Feist and Social Scene and stuff. I think there was so much cool shit going on in that sort of mid early 2000s era where I would have been coming out of high school, which wasn't that long ago, but seems like a long time ago now.
Exactly. And there's a great video actually of your, your previous band before that you made a couple of albums with the Sam Cash and the Romantic Dogs is what it was called. And you've got a great video that I had so much fun watching. It's for the song That Was the Summer. It's like you as a kid playing all around Toronto. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, that was. Yeah, I remember. Wow, that was like so long ago. I'm remembering shooting that thing now. Yeah.
It's so like in the video, you know, you're playing a lot of different Toronto venues, and you've actually gone on to work at a bunch of different venues. So like you worked at the Dakota, and you also worked at the Cameron House, correct?
Yeah, as well as many other bars around the city, but those were the most recent and the most busy, for sure.
The Cameron House just recently celebrated its 40th anniversary. And did you play? You played that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Classic Devin Cuddy fashion. He had me up as the last guest at 1 a.m. But we made it. We made it, man. We made it.
That's awesome.
Blue Rodeo opened, which was Blue Rodeo played this little surprise opening set,
that's great.
The disclosure I missed, but it was nice to see those guys there.
Awesome. Well, let's play another song off your album. Let's play Nothing at All off of The City, and then we'll come back and we'll chat more.
All my heroes are dead or dying, so sick and tired of trying and trying. All the cool kids curled up in the corner, asking themselves, what the hell are we living for? And I know sometimes it's easy to fix, but usually I'm struggling. Mostly I'm just losing control of my edge and slowly disappearing, fading into nothing at all, fading into nothing at all. All the dreamers that I grew up with are all lonely and desperate and filled with resentment. As I move
sometimes it's easy to fix. But usually I'm struggling, mostly I'm just losing control of my edge. And slowly disappearing, fading into nothing at all. Fading into nothing. Fading into nothing at all. So I keep running. And I know sometimes it's easy to fix, but usually I'm struggling, mostly I'm just losing control of my edge. Slowly disappearing, fading into nothing at all. Fading into nothing. Fading into nothing. Fading into nothing. Fading into nothing. Fading into nothing at all.
That was Nothing at All by Samir Cash, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So Sam, you have actually, I saw that you played, so you're kind of back playing again now. So you mentioned you're on tour. I saw that you were touring with, you were in the States recently. That's true? Yeah.
Yes, but not, so I've also, you know, a little pandemic pivot, of course, have started playing guitar with my friend Jeremy Albino. Mm-hmm. He's a really great songwriter, performer, artist. And he had some U.S. dates recently, and we actually are going back down tomorrow for a week. So that's been also nice to do something. And it's also nice to not focus on myself all the time, you know?
And are you planning...
Nice to do the sideman duty.
And are you planning on doing some, like, when the touring comes back again? I guess winter is probably going to be a tough time, but do you plan on touring this album with a full band?
Yes, I would like to. It's so funny because the only show I've had for this record, the only show I played for the songs, was that Burdock show. And then I also did not really vibe with the whole live stream thing. So for the most part, I've sat out. And so even as things are starting to come back, I've been talking to some people about booking some shows. And even then, I just feel like I'd rather just wait until it's all rocking again, you know, because... The half measures are great to do it, but I've also, you know, I mean, I jumped up at that Cameron thing. I can get my rocks off in little guest appearances here and there. But I think because the album is so much more detailed and the show was intended to be so much more detailed as well, it's not necessarily something I can just pull out in a ramshackle scenario. You know, I would prefer to have a nice, sort of more theatery experience for it.
Yeah, you had like two drummers on that show, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really in my head, no, I mean, Danny, who is phenomenal, you know, Danny, she was playing some external instruments and some percussion stuff and some drum pad things. But in my head, I would love to have two drum kits on stage. That would be very sick.
And so tell me a little bit more about the recording of this album. And so you worked with some great talented people like Matthew Bailey, James Goodwin, and it was mastered by Philip Shaw. So how did you kind of, first of all, tell me how long you worked on, you kind of worked for a couple of years like crafting these songs, correct? And then how do you make those decisions on who then you work with, both as the musicians and as the people who do the production for it? So what's that kind of process?
Yeah. Well, I felt like I learned a lot on this album. This is the one I was the most involved in sort of on the production end, not that I produced it at all, but there is, you know, some albums that have come out through other labels or in different business scenarios. It can feel like you don't have a lot of power actually in these situations where you're making a record. You know, you would think that as the artist you do, but sometimes people can just get in the way of things, and you can get in the way of yourself as well. So I thought this was the first record that I was really aware of that, and aware of just trying to figure out what I was hearing in my head rather than what would be the cheapest way, what would be the quickest way to do it, what would be the way that someone else would want to hear it, which is the way I think we should be making art, you know, just what do you as the artist want to hear? And as a result, some of the personnel decisions just came naturally. I mean, Matt Bailey, who produced the record, was in the Romantic Dogs with me previously, and then he stopped playing for a while, and then I had these songs and we hadn't really hung out in a while, and the first song we tried was Keep Kicking, and in that first session it ended up sounding close to how it sounds on the record. And I had previously tried a bunch of producers. I was really, after trying to really commit to just like finding artistically the thing that I hear in my head, which I don't know, you know, it's a bit of a chasing the dragon situation. You get as close as you can get, but it's never the full version. But I tried a bunch of different producers, and then I just tried something offhand with Matt, and it just felt natural and it felt right, and it didn't feel like it was such a struggle to have to assert myself or define myself. And then Dan Goodwin, who mixed the record, I loved a couple Kevin Morby records that he's mixed, and he also mixed this guy Craig Finn, who is the singer of The Hold Steady but has a phenomenal solo project. And I just emailed him out of the blue and just said I'm a huge fan, and he luckily said yes, even though we gave him a bit more work than maybe he expected. We got it done.
That's awesome.
We were very thorough.
I love that Kevin Morby. I remember I saw him just, I remember I was like scrolling through Instagram or something one day, and I saw a clip of him playing, and I was like, oh, I love that. And I had never heard anything of him. And I went and saw him at the Opera House. He's fantastic. He's great.
Yeah, he's great. And I mean, from sonically, the records that Dan mixed that really drew me to him were the Craig Finn records specifically, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you are familiar with him, Mary, but he is really great.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Sort of has a bit of a Midwest Springsteen vibe.
Yeah.
A dorkier Springsteen. A nerdier Springsteen.
And so what was the song on the album then, like, that kind of came the easiest to you from the when you recorded it? Like, and what was the most challenging, would you say?
I think Keep Kicking came the easiest. Mm-hmm. The hardest in the studio was for sure This City. I think, unfortunately, poor Dan Goodwin, I think we got him to do maybe 13 mixes of that song, which is just an ungodly amount. It's just unnecessary, frankly, but that was our bad. We just couldn't get it. It's one of those songs, I think, you really try to like not think about like, oh, what would be a single or what would be like the one that you would push. And that's not even really the one that we pushed the most, but it was the title of the record and it did have that good chorus. So I think in a lot of ways, me and Matt, it was like making a record for the first time without adults around, sort of, you know, we sort of were like kids in a candy shop a little bit. So we put a lot of stuff on that one, and it made it very hard to fit every, you know, we ended up having to take away some stuff just to make it all work.
Right.
But you know, it all sort of bleeds into one another.
Well, maybe let's listen to
the whole thing. Took forever.
Let's listen to the last song on the album, the song Easily. That's kind of a more.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to that and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Parking tickets pile up, and the dash is littered with empty packs of smokes and coffee cups. We've been driving for 10 hours straight. I don't know what went wrong, but if you're leaving town, you know I'm game. Brought some things to ease our mind. These said, I'm alright for now. We'll find another way to pass the time. We talked about our favorite songs and about how we're always scared about how the good in us might be gone. We could drive until the sunset turns to ash, talking to each other about things we don't understand, staring straight ahead as if we got a plan. This isn't where I thought I'd be, but I could die here easily.
That was Easily by Samir Cash, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. If you like the music that you're hearing, you can find him at samircash.com or Instagram.com. Follow him on Instagram.com/SamirCash. So that album, like, how do you organize, like, how do you order your songs on an album? Like, is it something that's a natural, like, do you have the order in mind kind of as you're making the album, or are there some song, or do you kind of debate it all and fit it in at the end, depending on how the mixes sound?
Yeah, it sort of develops slowly, but like, that's the kind of stuff I'd nerd about. That's one of my favorite things about making a record, is like, right, taking the track order and listening to it a million times in every different order and feeling, you know, putting it, you know, like burning 7 mix CDs and going into my car and just changing them out all night. There were some things that became clear of like Keep Kicking, just also because it was the first song we actually tried, and it felt like a very good intro song, an introduction into the album, into the sonic place of the album. So that was clear. That was going to be the first. And then it was actually, we had trouble sequencing it, because I don't know, it was just hard. Sometimes it's just hard, but we obsessed over it. And Matt also thought a lot about it. So we definitely had some heated arguments about track order.
For sure. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's listen to track 5 off your album, This City, called Driveway Moment.
Driveway moment with the lights off, where the space between our bodies is closing to your favorite song. I'm waiting for a driveway moment and falling rain, where all the things that we are smoking won't escape. You change your mind like a traffic light on a street that nobody drives. I see the sadness hidden in your eyes. I've been looking through your thin disguise. In all of our driveway moments with the heater on, drawn figures on the fogged up window, a peace offering. I'm waiting on a driveway moment. Do you feel the same? 'Cause right now my life's going nowhere. Maybe you can relate. I know this city hasn't offered us much, but you got its heart and I got its guts. I can't afford the tricks it pushes on us. Made a deal and now it's breaking our trust. Save all of our driveway moments in your memory. Pictures of your parents when you're lonely. I remember all the driveway moment with the lights off, where the space between our bodies was closing to your favorite song. I know the city hasn't offered us much, but you got its heart and I got its guts. I can't afford the tricks it pushes on us. Made a deal and now it's breaking our trust. Save all of our driveway moments at a standstill. 'Cause I love you, but you're still deciding. Maybe you never will.
Got some great videos that accompany this album as well. So, you know, there's the one of you. I think it's for driveway moment where you're running kind of outside. You've got one for the city when you're getting a haircut. You've got a stay in touch. You're on a roof. So take me through a little bit of kind of what goes into your. Like, what made you kind of pick those songs to kind of do the videos for, and what goes into your creative process of creating them?
Well, this is also one of the first times I really was visually engaged. I my way of thinking is a bit old school in terms of bands, where I, you know, have previously just wanted to just play the music. I haven't put any effort into a visual representation of the art in any way. And I thought it was time that changed, because a lot of it was fear-based and insecurity-based. But once I got over that, it was such a freeing thing to, you know, and just to think of it as another creative element. And so I had it in my head that I really wanted to try and shoot a music video and a live video for every song, which we didn't get, but we were close to it. And what's funny is a lot of those videos were all shot within a week of each other. We went for 10 days and we shot the driveway moment video and the This City video and all those live videos.
Yeah.
All up at my buddy Jonas Bonetta's place, Fort William Sound.
Cool.
And that was just also because I had limited dollars and I needed maximum, you know, especially because the thing wasn't going to be as easy of a touring project, because it wouldn't be a thing that I could just hop on any gig, which in the previous thing, we were just like a ready rock and roll band. We could hop on any gig and we would just go, you know, and it's a bit of a more measured project. So I knew I would need a lot of visual stuff. And then the pandemic happened, and luckily I had I had shot all that stuff right before the pandemic. So I still felt like I could get the vision across without necessarily having to play a bunch, because I had all these live videos. So you asked how I chose the songs. I literally tried to do every song and just get all of them.
That's neat. Well, why don't we let's listen to Cherry Red next. And that, sorry, that sounds like Cherry Red next. Let's next listen to Cherry Red. and then for the one looking up online after hearing it, they can check out the visual version of it as well.
She comes into the room with factory precision, lights another smoke, takes a drag and then flicks it. Got battle scars from all the wars she's been in. I know she's talking tough like a 1-2 punch, but I can feel her giving in. All out of hope tonight, she whispers soft as she shuts the lights, full of pain and regret. Adrenaline
things we should have said. Burn right up, cherry red. Honestly, I'm sick of this. Oh, shit. She opens up her mouth, and the room goes quiet. Floats across the floor like she's used to flying. Still the ropes that keep us close end up untying. Till we admit defeat, until we can't sleep, till we're sick of trying. All out of hope tonight, she whispers soft as she shuts the lights. In cigarettes, all the things we should have said, burn right up, cherry red. And honestly, I'm sick of this. Oh.
That was Cherry Red by Samir Cash off his album, This City, which came out this past year and, well, within the year. And so we've been having a great chat talking through kind of a bunch of the different songs on the album. And so I guess, are there, another question I had was like, what's it like for you, when you, like, are you someone who kind of is curious about like, how people absorb your album? So like, are you someone who like reads reviews? You kind of ask people what their thoughts are, or are you someone that kind of like doesn't want to hear that? Like, what do you, how do you feel about that? Other people's
expectations? You're asking if I read reviews and stuff?
Well, I think, or if you're just more curious about how people like interpret your music. Cause you know, I think when you create music and lyrics, it's a thing. And so do you ever maybe, you know, hear or read or hear about how people are taking it in and it's completely different from your intention or anything like that?
Yeah, I am interested in hearing that, partly because I do feel like once I put it out, it is not mine anymore. You know, I prefer to be pretty vague about what the songs are about because, you know, there's songs I love that I learned 10 years later are not at all about what I thought it was about.
Yeah.
And I frankly would have preferred to believe that it was about what I thought it was about.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It clearly affected me in a way, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about music, really, at the end of the day. So I really, you know, and it is an easy question, and it's an easy thing to get trapped into about what other people think, because the whole economy is based off what other people think.
Yeah.
You know, you need playlists, you need gigs, you need all this stuff, and people need to like it. But there's just not a ton I can, there's not a ton I can control about that.
Yeah.
And I think as artists, we will all be better off if we can let that go.
Yeah.
And just get it, just let it go. You know, but that's also the thing that's coming the older I get too. I'm just learning to be a bit less precious about it and just let it be free, you know?
So tell me a little bit about, I saw that you had, you've got a link to a space called Art on Instagram, and it's like a studio.
Yeah.
Record it. So tell me a little bit about that. It looks really cool. It looks like it's kind of a community-based artist hub. So what's that all about?
Yeah. So that is, once again, a pandemic pivot when it became clear I would not be on the road a lot or really that busy. It's a recording studio, but then the company is also a label and a management company, but I mainly just run the studio.
Cool.
And as a result, also get access to the studio, which is a great trade-off.
And
yeah, so that's just another thing.
Yeah. And how many instruments do you play, Sam? How many instruments do you play? Are you like drum?
Well,
do you play keyboard as well?
Yeah, I mean, this record was the first record where I really played piano on the record. Previously, I've always had other people do that. So that was, once again, a great way of sort of getting some control, feeling like I had some control back over that stuff, is trying to play as much stuff by myself as possible on this record. So I did a lot of piano. I did a lot of the guitars. Matt also did a lot of guitars. And then I did bass on one. I did bass on Nothing at All. Which,
no way.
Rather. Yeah. And then, yeah, drums I won't touch. Drums, that's a hard, hard instrument. And I would not insult drummers by trying to play. But I'm trying to be fluid creatively and just. Yeah.
And is there any instrument that you, is there any instrument that you're interested in learning? Like, have you ever played any strings, kind of? Because
I put strings in your albums. I took violin in grade school. That was a grade school instrument. But, no, I mean, the guitar is hard enough. Piano's hard enough. I would love to take piano lessons and learn piano much better than I know it at the moment.
Well, and I saw you played the West End Phoenix fundraiser the other day, and Dave Bendini was on the show past maybe about a month or two ago. And that looked like a fun time. You played with your dad, Toronto musician as well.
You could argue former. You could argue former, but that night he was not former. That night he brought it out.
I didn't mean that.
Brought it back.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing to, you know, we played together on and off over the years, but obviously it had been a couple of years. And it was just a very cathartic type of thing for both of us, I think.
Cool.
We did a Who song.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think that looked like it was a good fundraiser. It had like Feist was there, Hoxie Workman, a bunch of folks. So I look awesome.
Rhea Statics played, and it was amazing. Feist is amazing. There were so many artists, frankly. It was hard to keep track of, but it was phenomenal.
And so I guess we're kind of coming up on time because I want to fit in as much of your songs that I can. Let's listen to Stay in Touch next. There's a cool video of that as well of you. What rooftop on of that? It's like a really neat video.
That's the apartment that I live in. That's the rooftop of that.
Oh, cool.
Apartment that I live in. Yeah.
Let's listen to that.
Stay in touch. When you move out. When your bedroom becomes a temple where your father hides his doubts. When he's down on his knees, admitting defeat. When the words you need are just out of reach. Stay in touch with your mother. In your high school band and all the things you never understand. And when it gets too much and the money dries up, stay in touch with me honestly. It's a tragedy. After all this time, you think we'd find a few less casualties. But there were decade dreams smoked out in that ravine. And a few of our friends still haven't been seen. Stay in touch with school band and all the things you never.
That was Stay in Touch by Samir Cash. Thanks so much for your time and good luck with your touring and going to the States and all that. And
thank you, Mary. I look forward to rocking with you soon.
Yeah, me too. Okay, you take care. Okay, Sam. Thanks so much.
Where do we go when the mall shuts down and all the jobs drifted out of town? And this whole scene is petered out, and the dream is buried underground. So we'll save up close to 3,000 bucks, but lock it up in the trunk of your girlfriend's broken down SUV. The way it moves is a mystery, and I'm a fool for everything it bleeds. I'm out of moves. Can't you see we're bound to lose with every breath we breathe? So we'll save up close to 3,000 bucks, but lock it up in the trunk of your girlfriend's broken down. Slowly cascading while our magic is fading. It's like a dream from which we're waking. It looks like everybody's faking. I know that everybody's faking. So we'll save up close to 3,000 bucks, but lock it up in the trunk of your girlfriend's broken down SUV. Can we hide out in your mother's house until it's safe to come out? This city has left us fragile.
Was a song called $3,000 by Samir Cash, who joined me tonight on 101.5 The Hawk FM. It was great chatting with him tonight. We heard almost all the songs off his album, The City, which you can find out now. You can visit him at samircash.com. So we're going to close out the show tonight with the last song from his album that we haven't played yet, and it's called Paralyzed. So thanks for joining and have a great night.
Cavalry is pulling up while
you sharpen your silence and figure out if you're strong enough. Deep in the night with those flashing neon alibis, you hide behind this thin disguise till you're paralyzed. Bedroom eyes flash green and bright. I'm standing in the doorway trying to give you love, but it's hard to find. Way out of sight, my darker side gets realized. In disguise till I'm paralyzed. Until I'm paralyzed. Until I'm paralyzed. Massive connection. Must be easy, 'cause everybody here's pretending. Until they're paralyzed. Deep in the night with those flashing neon. Our darker side gets realized. So we hide behind this thin disguise until we're paralyzed. Until we're paralyzed.
Diversified programming alternative for the Hammer. This is CIOI-FM.
CIOI-FM.
Hamilton's 101.5 The Hawk.
Keep up now, what's the fun in that? Your turn.